Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
The ball hit high in the air to left field, sending Dickerson back. He's going to watch this one. That's gone! Chaz McCormick, the Chazmanian Devil, with a ball to left field that kept going. Hits his sixth of the year. The Astros' fourth home run of the game. It's now 5-1.
That ball was in the air forever. Plenty of time to get the meatloaf ready.
Four home runs for the Houston Astros yesterday. Mauricio Dubon, Chaz McCormick, as you heard right there, Kyle Tucker, and Martin Maldonado. Some milestones yesterday on Star Wars night at Minute Maid Park. You had Maldonado getting his 100th home run. You had Jose Altuve scoring his 1,000th career run. You had Jose Abreu, who is, along with Mauricio Dubon, carrying the Astros offense, getting his 1,500th career hit. He had two hits yesterday. He has 4 two-hit games in his last five. That's what you expect against the Nationals, and they better keep it up. It's not a threat. It's just an expectation. Sean, you moved your face to the side as if I was threatening the Houston Astros. Huh. I'm not doing that.
This is just when people say something that sounds like a threat, and then they go, it's not a threat. It makes me think it's a threat.
It's a demand. It's an expectation. I'm high maintenance.
What happens if they don't meet the demand?
Well, then I will be very, very upset and yell about it on the radio. But probably not yell, because we're not a Northeastern sports talk show, right? Like, we're not going to go full WFAN, the New York station that, for whatever reason, continuously has been making headlines in a very slow sports time of year. Weekend radio host goes on rant when man says she doesn't know what she's talking about. Radio host says that the Mets have a bunch of mercenary guys who are crap. Like, no, we're not going to go there. But we hold them to a high standard. The good news for the Astros of late is that Texas seems to be falling back to earth a little bit, and they also are not going to get the reinforcement of Jacob DeGrom later in the year, since he is having Tommy John surgery. It's time for another episode of Rangers Watch.
In the eyes of a ranger, the unsuspecting stranger had better know the truth of wrong from right. 'Cause the eyes of the ranger are upon you. Any wrong you do, he's gonna see. When you're in Texas, look behind you.
But also in front?
'Cause that's where the Rangers gonna be.
Found out last night that Chuck Norris wrote that song and sang that song. That was the theme song for Walker, Texas Ranger, I think, from season two on, and they just kept with it. Good for Chuck Norris. He created his own show jingle and sang it. That is Paul Gallant show-esque. But what did the Texas Rangers do last night? They lost to the Angels 7-3. It's Texas's fifth loss in six games, and Houston is now 3.5 games back in the West. They had six pitchers, LA did, last night, and they still won. Like, fairly resoundingly. And they did it without Mike Trout. So that's neat. That's splendid. Some comments here. Twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. Todd the Show says the Rangers pitching is garbage. Junior Bronco says the Rangers are coming back to earth. I got to say, though, on the Astros front, with all the injuries, do we think they can catch them at this moment in time if the Rangers are falling to earth, if you will? The run differential for the Rangers does seem unsustainable. It's insane. Like, it's north of what Tampa Bay has, and we know what a crazy start Tampa Bay got off to. I do think that the Astros schedule is rather favorable, especially the next three series. I know that Texas has a couple more good teams on the plate before the Astros play them at the end of the month. Do we want to make another prediction? Do we want to be just constantly beating the drum that the Astros will be in first place by the end of the month because I asked for it? Because they didn't. They did let me down. I am 0-for-1 this year as far as Astros overtaking another team prediction. Last year, I was 1-0.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like we're just chasing the high from the Yankees. What was that, June, July? I forgot when the actual takeover happened. But hey, if you want to make another prediction, go for it. It'll be your name on the show, not mine. So don't really care if you're wrong.
You don't care if I'm wrong?
I hope you're right, because that benefits the Astros. But if you get clowned, I don't care if you're wrong. And you and people are like, yo, who is this? Bro thought the Astros were rising, but
yo,
they're not.
That was
capping. Yeah.
That was cap on
and
God.
You know how people, you know how baseball Twitter sounds like? You know, they're all 19-year-olds, right?
It does exist, believe
19-year-old baseball Twitter?
While we're talking about Walker, Texas Ranger a little bit, because that might be more interesting than keeping an eye on what the Rangers do every single day. There's something that I forgot to add to the end of the Rangers Watch Open. I'll have it in tomorrow because it's the greatest moment in 90s television history, and it features Haley Joel Osment. And if you've seen it, you know. The real ones know. E315 says, Dr. Quinn, medicine woman, is better. I mean, it does feature Jane Seymour, who, if you saw the movie Wedding Crashers, you would know that she has very good genetics. And that's all I've got to say about that. I don't think I ever watched Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. There was that show Lewis and Clark. I don't think I can remember anything from that show. But that was a sitcom that was back in the 1980s, but there was another Lewis and Clark TV show, I thought. Yeah, The Adventures of Lewis and Clark. How many Adventures of Lewis and Clark television shows are there?
By the way, Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman,
yeah,
looks like a great show.
It does.
Just based off...
because it's Jane Seymour.
Yeah, I was going to say, based off the Google image search that I did, looks like a great show.
Dick Willie says it all sucks compared to Little House on the Prairie. Little House on the Prairie seems kind of lame. Like, were there gunfights every week? Did Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman have gunfights on that show? Or was it just an alternative medicine show? And they were like, but it's the 1800s. It's fine. No one's actually going to get hurt from the snake oil that we're pushing on this show.
Honestly, the alternative medicine in the 1800s was probably just as good as the actual medicine from the 1800s.
Yes, I would agree.
Jane Seymour. So
that's true.
That probably helps too.
Man, what? I don't know what show I'm trying to think of that, like, it's like, hey, there's a Native American lady and she's helping navigate.
Sacagawea.
Yeah, Sacagawea. I thought there was a Lois and Clark show. Nope, there's a Lois and Clark television show.
Lewis and Clark.
Lewis and Clark. That's
it. Are you looking up Lois and Clark?
I was like, wait a second. Terry Hatcher is not. She does not look like Sacagawea. Oh, that's Lois Lane.
Lois and Clark.
It's Lois and Clark. Got it.
No, Lewis and Clark is the name of the...
Wait.
the actual explorers that went on the Oregon Trail were Lewis and Clark.
Right. There was a TV show, and I can't... Anyway, I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. I could have sworn I remembered something that happened in the 90s, and now I don't know anything anymore. So anyway, back to Jane Seymour. Throwing 100 in the movie Wedding Crashers still. So how about that? Now we're just talking 90s television show. I never saw Xena Warrior Princess. Never saw it, but that was the thing. And coming up next on the Paul Gallant Show, we'll tell you what's going on with a key Houston Astro injury. Stick around.
You found ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I can feel it.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums, getting all swollen with a light blue hue to them. Fresh and juicy, ready for the picking.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the devastation
by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
No new update on Lance McCullers. We're still waiting for one this afternoon, but the update as far as Astros injuries go, I just love what they do with these announcements. Yordan Alvarez is a ways off. He had an MRI, or he didn't, per Dusty Baker. His return is still up in the air a little bit. Will take a week to get a feel for how long, or possibly 2 to 3 weeks, per GM Dana Brown. What an update. I love it. The latest on McCullers was that we know he's frustrated and that he's having the same issues with his forearm that he had in February. Jeremy Pena's out sick, and we could see Jose Urquidy throw off a mound as early as this weekend. So there you go, guys. There are your updates for the Houston Astros. As far as injuries go, you can join us on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston at 713-780-3776. You can also call in at that number. You can tweet us at Gallant Says, at Sean A. Mapes, at ESPN 97.5. Here's a text. The Astros better not take Cincinnati lightly. Since they brought up the number one prospect in baseball, they haven't lost. Yes, but I can take Cincinnati lightly. I can. They were censoring their fans last year. I will take Cincinnati lightly. I will take Washington lightly. They're not real teams. They don't matter. Every game I watch the Astros play against them is a waste of my time. Mine. Might not be yours, but for me, it's a waste of my time. Unless they win. If they win, cool. If they lose, I don't want this show content. I don't want to get mad. A lot of you think that I'm only good at radio when I'm angry, and that might actually be true, but I don't want to be mad. I don't want to sound like I'm from Boston anymore. I don't want to sound like sports are the only reason I get up in the morning. I have other reasons that I get up in the morning, like cats. Others, off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you, but there's that.
The show?
Eh.
Okay.
Skyrim. That too. I have a question. When are you supposed to admit that an opinion of yours is wrong? Because we saw earlier this week the Denver Nuggets won the NBA title. And it's funny because the way that we've talked about Nikola Jokic since that title was officially won, and honestly over the last couple of weeks, went from, oh, he's kind of a fatty and he's not that good, to he's clearly the best player in basketball. It is a pretty big jump to go from that point to another. But I do think people have to, at the very least, admit that the guy's damn good and that he's doing historic things. Chris Mannix is someone who got in trouble a couple of weeks ago for saying that the Nuggets just aren't interesting as a basketball team. And a lot of people pounced on him for it. I didn't entirely do it because I thought he had a point. Like, no one really cared about the Nuggets until the last couple of weeks. Chris Mannix, though, went viral for this clip of him on a podcast that was aggregated and cut up where he says that he doesn't think that Nikola Jokic just had an all-time postseason, and he's still hesitant to put him among the all-time greats in the NBA.
I don't look at it as an all-time great playoff run because they didn't have a peer, really, that they went up against, an equal. Phoenix, as talented as they were, we all knew the flaws with that team, not the least of which was chemistry. I was as on board with the Lakers as anyone. I give the Nuggets credit for rolling through them in four straight, but they were certainly a flawed team, and now it's Miami. And I'm not going to dismiss Miami as just an eight seed. You know, Miami's better than that. I'd probably feel differently about Jokic if he had gone through Boston or Milwaukee or in a matchup with Joel Embiid in Philadelphia. I think it's a playoff run that elevates him. I don't know if it elevates him to that top tier stratosphere. He answers every question that was ever out there about his ability to succeed in the playoffs. But to get to that next level of superstar, that all-time great level of superstar, I want to see him go up against a team that you consider their equal or even consider their better.
So Mannix claimed that he was taken out of context here. The post that put that clip together at the NBA Central said that Mannix isn't ready to call Jokic an all-time player. Here's the thing. None of us should call anybody who's currently playing an all-time player. I guess LeBron James has kind of ruined that because we are so desperate for something close to what we had with Michael Jordan. That's why Kobe Bryant was thrown into that conversation back in the day. Kobe was literally trying to copy Michael Jordan. But Mannix tried to clarify saying, Jokic is an all-time great, but he wants to see Jokic have a Magic Bird moment or a LeBron Cavs versus Warriors moment and shine there. He's talking about one-on-one matchups, like he needs to go up against Embiid or he needs to go up against a better team. How about we highlight the fact that Jokic, on a level that we haven't seen many players do over the last 20 to 30 years, makes the team around him so much better. And I feel like that does vault you towards all-time territory. But we don't need to put you right there. So I don't think Chris Mannix has to back off from this take. I don't think it's the worst take in the world.
Yeah. If he's just saying, like, the run itself, like, yeah, no, there's been more impressive runs. Like, they beat, what, an 8 seed, a 4 seed, a 7 seed, and an 8 seed. Like, on its face, like, yeah, I get it. And they crushed all of them. All
right.
Yeah, I think the Suns was the only one with 6 games. The rest were 5.
Yeah.
Lakers was a sweep. And so, like, they did their job, but they played who they played. But I do understand why, like, we probably aren't going to have conversations 15 years from now about, like, man, remember that 2023 Nuggets playoff run that they went through? First they beat the Timberwolves, then they beat old LeBron and old KD, and then the 8 seed Heat. Like, but I get that there wasn't a moment where we're like, oh, man, this is some great stuff here.
But you don't need to talk about the specific moment. You just need to talk about the 3-year stretch. He won 2 MVPs and then he won an NBA title.
I mean, even those 3 years, though, he lost in the first round, lost in the second round.
Gotcha.
So, like, that's where the like, we don't have, like, a long, like, lineage with the Denver Nuggets kind of run. You know, it's the 2020 bubble, which most people, or a lot of people, didn't watch or didn't really care about. And, yeah, Jamal Murray goes down late the next season, 21. And they're, you know, basically not a real team for the next 2 years. So I get what he's saying, where it's like this, the playoff run that they just went on is not like the most impressive of all time.
I'm with you there. But I also think that there's a lot more parity in the NBA than we're willing to admit in 2023, which makes the Rockets absolute waste of a year this year that much more problematic in my mind. But anyway, that's Chris Mannix. I don't think Chris Mannix has to necessarily retreat, but I do disagree with him. But then we have the Bobos from Philadelphia who are, for whatever reason, still kissing the ass of Joel Embiid, who was out of gas against the Boston Celtics as Philadelphia blew yet another series against Boston, which they have been doing for only, you know, their entire history, which is awesome to me. But anyway, Elliot Shore Parks is a Philadelphia Eagles reporter. I don't know why this commentary went viral, especially considering he's an Eagles reporter. Who effing cares what he has to say about basketball? But anyway, Elliot Shore Parks thinks that the run by Nikola Jokic this year was overrated.
Yeah, he's also the guy that got handed probably the easiest path to a title we might ever see again in the NBA.
True.
And maybe ever when you consider the play-in tournament. So I think both things can be true. The Sixers could use this as motivation. I hope Joel uses it as motivation. And the Sixers probably should have beaten the Celtics in game 6. That's true. But I don't think this means the Nuggets are way better. They're winners and the Sixers are losers and Jokic is way better than Embiid. I think that's an overreaction to them getting to play bad teams the entire path to their title.
Well, I will say this. I think you simplify it a little too much, but I do derive, and have said this today, Elliot, hope as a Sixers fan for the Sixers' chances in the next 2 to 3 years after seeing the Nuggets just win. Because I don't think the Nuggets are much better than the Sixers. I really don't.
And the thing is, Shore Park said something else that was just effing stupid right after that was done. And, I mean, this guy's just like your typical Philly scum. These people are dirty people. And I know part of them are in my family. These people, they constantly feel a need to pander to a low IQ fan base on a regular basis. But I don't even know why. There's a lot of negativity in the air when it comes to Philadelphia sports fans. No, like it's there. I don't get what Eagles reporter Shore Parks is trying to do here by minimizing Nikola Jokic. Is this making him feel better? Is this making listeners like him? Like, I'm trying to figure out his end game here, in addition to why this actually made it onto my timeline. Good God, June is the worst month of the sports calendar. Shore Parks continued saying that he thinks the reason there's not separation in his mind between Jokic and Embiid is because Embiid hasn't had enough time to work with somebody that we know very well.
The Hawk series and all these things. But this core, right, this Maxi, Harden, Embiid core has had two shots and really only one shot if you consider that the year they got Harden, it's always hard to integrate a star that late into the postseason. So that would be my message to Sixers fans this morning, that yes, it is frustrating to watch Jokic win a fake ring that no one really cares about. But I think over time, if you give the Sixers more opportunities like the Nuggets got.
I think he's such a moron, actual moron, for thinking that if there's more time for Joel Embiid to play with James Harden, that the Sixers are going to go further. Like, you don't watch. Why do you weigh in on it? What value do you bring to the table? And I'm not saying that when a player like Nikola Jokic has a playoffs like he just did, or a three-year stretch like he just did, that you have to say he's one of the best of all time. That's what we did back in 2012 when Joe Flacco had that crazy playoff run. Everyone got shamed into admitting that Joe Flacco was a great quarterback. I'll admit it. I was guilty of that. I got peer pressured into thinking, well, I guess he's good. He's not. Joe Flacco has never been anything special except for that playoff run that he had with the Ravens. Credit to him, he got paid for it. But Flacco was a very above-average quarterback. Like, that's it. With a great Super Bowl run on his resume. Who's better, Rich Gannon or Joe Flacco? Serious question. Probably Rich Gannon. As far as like what they actually did, we saw Rich Gannon win an MVP going all the way back to 2002. Like, that's the kind of comparison that you make between quarterbacks like that. But all of a sudden, people were like, well, Flacco's one of the best in the game. And you don't have to do that. You don't. And I feel like that's what this Elliot Shore Parks person feels like he has to do. I have to admit, Nikola Jokic is the best center in the NBA. Clearly, he has a leg up on Joel Embiid. He clearly has one. He's won two MVPs in a row. Embiid wins the MVP this year, and he no-shows in the playoffs. And I get it. Jokic has had moments like that himself. But Jokic with Jamal Murray this year, and give Murray some credit for maybe what Jokic was able to do, led to Jokic putting up numbers that guys like Wilt Chamberlain have put up. Like some of the best numbers that we've ever seen. The amount of triple-doubles that Nikola Jokic had in these playoffs and 30-20-10 nights and things like that. No one's done that before, especially Joel Embiid. So I don't get why there are some people like the people that refuse to surrender in the Japanese army after World War II that are holding out and not saying like, oh, well, yeah, I mean, it wasn't that good what Jokic did. Like, what is your end game here? What are you trying to prove? Are you doing this for yourself? Are you doing this to pander? Like, I don't get it. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coming up next, we're going to do a new segment here. It's June. We're trying to think of topics. It's called the Writer's Room. I'm going to try to sell you on some potential topics for the future. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.com. We keep getting away with it.
He can't keep getting away with it.
Back to the Paul Gallant Show. Take the red pill with Paul and see just how far this rabbit hole goes. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call or text in on the HRNP listener line. You can also join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Couple of texts here. The Reds will end up with a better record than the Astros when it is all said and done. That's Cleveland from Cincinnati. Doesn't sound possible. Having a Cincinnati listener, number one. Number two, that person being named Cleveland. And then, of course, we look at the National League Central standings. The Reds, who have won four games in a row and play the Astros this weekend, 2.5 games out of first place in the NL Central, are 33-35. The Astros, meanwhile, are 38-29. Fun prediction. Another text. Astros play 11 of 14 teams under 500 until they play the Rangers at the end of the month. 7 of 14. The Rangers will play teams under 500. So I guess it might be safe for another Gallant prediction for the Astros to overtake the Rangers. I think it's going to, if it happens, happen at the end of that series at the beginning of the month. But we'll see. The funny thing was, the first time the Astros played the Rangers this year, I just thought to myself, who cares? Now I'm like, I guess I can still overlook them to be condescending, but privately I'm going to have some doubts about the Astros going into that one. Anyway, you can also tweet us at Gallant Says, at Sean A. Mapes Behind the Glass. Thought about something since it's June. To potentially take this show in another direction. And it would be doing this. We're gonna try to present topics. I'm going to try to sell them to Sean Mapes like I'm in a writer's room. This is something that people might have forgotten about, but Mark Stein, who covers the National Basketball Association, had a tweet the last couple of days saying this, quote, "I have heard that the Rockets, in the event that they are unable to lure James Harden away from Philadelphia and back to Houston, plan to weigh a run at Dallas's Kyrie Irving." That's fun. We also had Kyrie Irving say this a couple of months ago. I guess this was when he was still actually playing basketball for the Brooklyn Nets against the Houston Rockets. He had this to say about their young players.
Kyrie, can you talk about what advice you gave Jalen Green at the end of the game? And what does it mean to you to have those young guards look up to you like that?
It's a blessing. And it's an honor, and we're just breathing energy, the right energy into the next generation that's going to be following our footsteps. And those guys are ultra, ultra talented. And it seems as though me in my 11th year now, I've watched these guys since they were 14, 15 years old, and I've grown with them. I've sent the messages of encouragement, messages of motivation, trying to inspire them as they inspire me. And I look forward to the challenge of going against them for, quite a few more years. That's the fun part, right?
That is Kyrie Irving now with the Dallas Mavericks.
Now it's leaving a legacy.
Playing a cut of him talking about Sean. Just cut it. We're done. We're done.
That's the beauty of the brotherhood.
Sean, stop. Stop. Courtesy of Big Sarge Sports, that bit of audio right there. Look, Kyrie Irving in Houston would be fun, but along the way there in that quote, it's just great to be an inspiration for the next generation. Well, I guess there are a lot of people who don't ever want to work for a dollar in their life, so you are inspiring them. Kind of weird to say, I've been watching them since they were 14, 15, sending them messages of encouragement. BS. You have been busy watching documentaries about black Jews, Kyrie. We all know this because you tried to push it on Twitter and then acted like you didn't do it and clearly weren't remorseful. And you were playing for a team that was the 4 seed and you asked out of the team this year. But anyway.
He's been watching the young since they were 14 or 15. Now they're of age. Now he's interested.
Is this a possible show topic, Sean? And hear me out. It's 2023. The Houston Rockets are unable to get James Harden. Big problem, right? The world is crumbling as a hero can't return home, right? That's where you're wrong. I've got a story for you. A story about a man who challenges societal norms. A man who challenges science itself. A wise philosopher. A man who will not take what he's told for an answer and not show up for work. A man who will provide content at every single second. A man that alone can help the Houston Rockets take flight once again. And sure, he doesn't believe in the idea of rockets. After all, we live in a world that is flat. But he is going to find a way to help the Houston Rockets get past the moon and all the way to Mars. Does that sound like somebody in a writer's room would try to pitch, like, this is why we bring Kyrie Irving to Houston?
Yeah, that does. It does sound like it's like, what if we did James Harden, but different a little?
We can't afford James Harden. I have another solution.
Yeah, or it's like how they pitch like movies. It's kind of like Die Hard, but on a plane.
Get this. It's essentially the local town idiot, except for he's really rich, and he's a bit of a recluse. And he believes that everything that comes out of his mouth is true because he watched a couple of videos on YouTube.
I mean, honestly, it's like James Harden. We've all been there. We've done that. Got the t-shirt. Some of us literally have got a t-shirt with James Harden's name on it. What if we did something different? Something new and exciting? He'll always keep you guessing. What is he gonna share on social media? What stance is he gonna take today? Will he even play today?
Right.
That's where we bring in Kyrie Irving. Interested? That's the end of the pitch.
I'm in. Screw it. Let's do it.
Yeah, I mean,
give him $50 million a year.
Yeah, I mean, if James Harden actually wants to go back to Philly, which is funny. It's like, what? This guy who was on, like, the 3 seed wants to go back to the 3 seed? Not the worst team in the league? What? That's crazy. But if he does make that decision... You know, it's either Kyrie Irving or Fred VanVleet. You could talk me. I mean, I'm very easy to talk into. Or wouldn't it be funny if, like, yeah, that would be funny.
Let's continue with this pitch, Sean. A lot of people are talking about Fred VanVleet. Yeah, he's Dutch. Cool. We've been there. We've done that. Like the clogs, Dutch is out. Jews in. Black Jews really in. Kyrie Irving checks boxes in a demographic that's yet to be explored as we tell the story of a black Jew playing in the National Basketball Association. Because that's what he calls himself. It is something else. The Kyrie Irving experience.
Yeah, let's not wade too far into those waters.
Okay, fair enough. I'm just saying, he calls himself that. Okay, fine. Got something else for you. Okay. Here's a pitch. The Texas tight end history... It's been a sad one. It's been a rough one. Lots of tries and lots of swings and lots of misses. Jordan Akins, Tegan Quarantino. I'm trying to think of other tight ends off the top of my head.
Ryan Griffin.
CJ Fedorowicz.
Same guy. Doesn't matter.
The other guy that they drafted in the third round at one time, but it wasn't named Jordan Akins. There's another Jordan. Brevin Jordan.
OJ Howard.
There's been a lot of tight ends in the history of the Houston Texans. But you know who they haven't thought about? Guys, I have a pitch for you that's just like the movie Rookie of the Year. And it features, get this, a child who has a terrible father, right? Overcoming adversity, he comes to the NFL... And he plays tight end for the Houston Texans. And get this, to throw another wrench in the old plan, Houston Texans fans have to deal with the fact that another New England Patriot associated name is coming into the fold. ladies and gentlemen, Baby Gronk is tight Texan. And it's kind of weird to say. Doesn't roll off the tongue. It's fine. Figure out a new title. Baby Gronk to the Houston Texans.
It's a good reboot for Rob. Everyone loved Rob Gronkowski. What if we reboot him, but make him babies? People love Muppet Babies. They'll love Muppet tight ends. Baby tight ends. I screw that up.
Did you ever watch Muppet Babies?
I'm pretty sure it was on. Yeah.
I never saw that one.
Oh, you missed out. It's crazy stuff. Seen Kermit as a baby? What? Gonzo? He looked weird.
On the other side in garbage time, we're going to play what we've most recently heard from Baby Gronk's dad, who is honestly, I think, the worst person in sports on this June 14th, 2023. You'll hear it next. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
Thank you for listening to ESPN 97.5. It means the world.
A whole new world. A dazzling place I never knew.
Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
On the field, celebration on the speakers, and the A's have won back-to-back games against Tampa Bay. Longest winning streak since August of 21.
How about that? The Oakland A's, they've won 7 in a row. Again, their longest winning streak since, I think, right about the time that the Twitter account for NBC Sports Bay Area put out that "What are people saying about us now?" graphic with the Houston Astros. That was before the Astros beat them in the playoffs. That's the last time that the A's were good. The A's, though, have won 7 games in a row, guys, to bring their record to 19-50. And they're just 20 games back of the Houston Astros for second place. I make fun of the A's a lot. I do. I call them the Augusters because pretty much all of their important moments in history have taken place in August, like the movie Moneyball or the winning streak that they had in August of 2021, the last time that they were good. We laughed about the reverse boycott that they were going to do of an A's game, but all thought that since the team seemed to be moving to Las Vegas, that everyone was going to back out. But since the plans for a new stadium in Vegas have been put on hold by the Nevada State Legislature, the A's future is very much unclear at this moment in time. So, to A's fans' credit, it wasn't a complete sellout last night at that dump of a stadium, the Coliseum, but it felt like it. There were about 28,000 people in attendance, and at one point, the crowd broke out in this chant, and I can't remember hearing a chant like this be this vocal, to be this loud.
We heard the crowd go silent and now getting very loud at the Coliseum.
Sell the team. Sell the team. Credit to the A's broadcast for actually playing the audio of it. They've had some rough moments this year. You might remember, we've discussed it in this very segment before. Their play-by-play broadcaster was canned for while talking about the Negro Leagues dropping an N-bomb. Dumb, bad, bad broadcaster. But credit to the A's broadcast, leaving the volume up. There are people who control the crowd mics. It would not be that hard for the people that are in the truck running this A's game to just shut that off entirely. It wouldn't be that hard. They instead chose to play it. And while it's very easy, again, to make fun of A's fans, and they're kind of annoying with the bands that they used to bring into the Coliseum and all those things, it does suck when a fan base is saddled with some cheapo owner like John Fisher, who isn't even trying to make it work in the Bay Area, and it's clear it's on him. So I hope that A's fans enjoy that moment that they had. It might be one of the last true moments of enjoyment that they'll have. They won a seventh game in a row against the best team in the American League. Two of them were against that team. And there were a ton of people in the stands for that game. It was a cool moment of protest, as my old co-host in Seattle says, F the bosses, except for David Gow, because he's cool. Anyway, time for a little garbage time.
I'm only happy when
it's garbage. And then I start eating garbage.
If there's one guy up here who knows about total garbage,
garbage,
it's this guy. It's garbage time with Paul Gallant. Let's go.
Let's go.
Baby Gronk has been the subject of far too many of these of late. But for those who don't know, he is an elementary school-aged football player that has blown up for reasons I really do not understand. I'm sorry, but
because Lizzie rizzed him up at LSU a couple weeks ago.
That video is clearly parody because I've seen that guy do a bunch of very similar videos. Okay. So I'm wondering, like, why people are this into him. Again, it's a 9 to 10 year old football player, and The Athletic put together a story asking who is Baby Gronk after those dumb tweets. Excuse me, after those dumb TikToks posted. And maybe there's a lot of kids on TikTok that are like 8, 9, 10 that think that he's good at football. Again, I would absolutely destroy him on a football field and kind of want to. I also would destroy his father, Jake San Miguel, who does not look very athletic and is shorter than me. He's a year older than me, too. Jake San Miguel is the worst. This is a podcast interview where Baby Gronk is in front of a mic and his dad, Jake San Miguel, is right next to him. And I don't know why he thought this wasn't going to go viral in a bad way, but it did.
Are you him is the real question.
Yes.
See, I'm going to punch him in. Punch Ask him that in. Again, bro. Say, man, what kind of question is that? You see my Instagram? Say that. Ready?
All right, hey, ahead. Baby Gronk, are you him?
What kind of question is that? Look at my Instagram.
Would you take her to prom someday?
Hey, no, say it again, bro. You got to say, man, I already DM'd her and asked her, and she said yes. All right, come on, man. Sit on the mic.
Hey, Baby Gronk, would you take Lily Dunn to prom, you think?
I already DM'd her, and she said yes.
Damn.
I hate this dad. I legitimately despise him. I feel bad for this kid, too. It's just a terrible situation to be in, where your dad is going full Marinovich on you, but you're 9 or 10.
He's actually, like, I feel like going even farther than Marinovich, because he's like coaching him up, or not coaching him up. He's just
doing
like
a good job of coaching.
He's like basically one step away from just moving your mouth while talking.
Yes.
Like, that's basically all he's doing, is moving Baby Gronk's mouth while he says whatever he wants to say. He's like, he's a grown man playing the character of a kid, using his kid as like the prop.
Jake, we get it. You weren't good at football in high school. But living this through your son is not the way to do it. And again, I am challenging you. One-on-one, try to cover me. Try to get past me covering you. One-on-one Oklahomas. Not very impressed by your look. I don't think your son's going to amount to anything because you're not a very big human being, and genetics are a big part of football. So, again, I am challenging you. And when you lose, you have to stop, because I'm tired of seeing these stories, because I feel like I have to talk about them because it's June. Anyway, that's going to wrap up today's Paul Gallant Show. Subscribe to the Paul Gallant Show podcast if you haven't, on iTunes and on Spotify. I don't think iTunes exists anymore. Apple Podcast. Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass, our texters, our tweeters, to some of our Twitchers. The Killer Bees are up next. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Wednesday. Peace!
ESPN 97.5, because every day is Children's Day.
We are the music makers, and we are the dreamers of dreams.